Who was here last week to hear Jane Henderson's message? Oh, not so many of us really. I wasn't here, I was at Latchford Church, and they send their love, by the way. And but I listened online, and hopefully I would advise that if you can, you listen to what she had to say, because it was such a challenge to live that kind of sacrificial, fully committed life. And it's not about keeping rules or turning up to church or believing the right things or even doing the right things. It's crazy, isn't it? But trying to keep a set of rules and regulations, it's just impossible, and it wears us down. The only thing that makes such a life possible is a transformation, a complete renewing that comes through relationship. It comes from the security of a relationship with God. His love, His power, His mercy, His goodness. And it's not what we do, it's what He has done for us. I was really challenged by what she had to say and how she had to say it. And in some ways, it seems a bit of a shame to move on. But actually, at the end of the day, everything we do is to continue to build our relationship with God, our discipleship as followers of Jesus. So we come to today. See if I go the right way. No, wrong way. 50-50 choice. And we're going to be looking mainly at the tree of life. I'd never really considered this much. I mean, I'm sure the same as most of the rest of you, I've heard this and just accepted it for what it was. So it was really interesting, actually, to look into it in some depth. And to be honest with you, this whole narrative, there is so much in it. The tree of life is a symbol that's actually still quite popular in our society today. This is jewellery. You see it in jewellery. You see it as decorations, as wall hangings. You see it on plant pots. It's something that certainly, I think maybe more recently I've become aware of it. In recent years I've become aware of it. But it's something that's still a popular symbol in our society today. People who wouldn't claim to have any kind of Christian background, but the tree of life is a symbol that you see around. And it's a kind of spiritual symbol that lingers in the human psyche. It's common in many cultures, not just ours. This was taken from a jewelry site, the symbolism and meaning of the tree of life. Interconnectedness, strength, stability, growth, rebirth, insight and knowledge, calmness, peace and relaxation, fertility and family. That's the kind of things that this tree, this grounded tree, evokes in people. This is what the tree of life, the kind of thing that the tree of life symbolizes in society today. But I want to go back. I want to start right at the very beginning. Genesis 1:1 tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The very first book of the Bible makes no attempt to account for him or where he came from. It simply states that he was and he created. And then it goes on to say, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We are created in the image of God. We're created to resemble him. God breathed something of himself into Adam. We can reason and we can choose, reflecting God's intellect and freedom. We are creative and social beings. Just as our God created and is of his very essence a community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Whenever someone recoils from evil or feels guilty, it confirms the fact that we are made in God's own image, reflecting his integrity and perfection. The first humans were created innocent, righteous, good, a reflection of God's holiness. And what need did they have to be anything else when God himself was in close relationship with them? In Genesis 3, we see that he walked with them in the garden. It made me wonder, in what form did he walk? What did God look like when he walked with them? But that's a bit of an aside. I didn't go down that rabbit hole. Humankind, me, you, us. We are created in the image of God. I'd like you to hold that thought. Researching this as well, it also would seem that it was originally planned that Adam and Eve would live forever. The tree of life, we're told in Genesis 3, provided for this, and God put no prohibition on the consumption of its fruit. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." A tree of life in the center of the garden. Not only good for food, but pleasing to the eye. It stands central. Secure, grounded, fruitful, beautiful, enduring. It represents a paradise, life in paradise. And this is what we lost. I think this is the echo that bounces around in our culture and so many others, even to this day. Another tree stood in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This time, God did prohibit the eating of the fruit. Now, part of being made in the image of God is the capacity to make free choices. Adam and Eve were created righteous, but when given the opportunity, they chose to rebel. Instead of continuing to live with God and allowing Him to define and teach them what was good and bad, they take the fruit. Note, not necessarily an apple. And they then have the power to define good and evil for themselves, outside of God's wisdom. How quickly, how soon in the history of people did we try to establish an independence from our Creator God? The consequences of this are catastrophic. And to save us from getting into even more trouble, remember the live forever bit. God banishes humans from the garden and bars the way to the tree of life. An omniscient, all-knowing God would have known that this would happen. He would have known that at some point he would have to come down again and sort this out for us. Nope, pressed too many. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. The symbolism of trees, as we've looked at a bit this morning already, occurs again and again throughout Scripture. Chris referred to the cross. In Acts, it tells us that Jesus died on the tree, on the wood. The tree of life returns as a symbol of perfection in the book of Revelation at the end of time as we know it. But that's for another day. Fortunately, I don't have to leave humankind there, having broken their perfect relationship with God. He by no means abandons them. and the whole of the rest of Scripture charts God's desire to communicate with us, to be in relationship with us. The good news is that when Jesus came, Jesus the Messiah, he demonstrated an unswerving reliance on God and obedience to him perfectly. Exactly what humans failed to do. The good news is that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for all our wrongdoing and rebellion against God. When he rose again, he proved that death is not the end and God is in control. And he invites those who follow him to live in a new way, filled with the Spirit of God, no longer conforming to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. The good news is that in a society that breeds discontent and anxiety, there is another way. Now, a whole other sermon could be how, but briefly, spend time often and sincerely before God. Put his word into practice. Be part of a community that encourages you in your following of Jesus. The good news is that Jesus accomplished it all. It's not about what we do, it's about what he did and continues to do. I'd like to finish this morning by reading from Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 to 10. In my Bible, it's headed Made Alive in Christ. And by the way, if anyone's taken the large print Bible from back here, I'd be grateful for it another day. So we're going to look at the letter to the Ephesian church, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, and we know that from the beginning, don't we? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The tree of life represented all that was good that God had made. It represented living forever. It represented food. It represented growth and life and stability. And we turned away from it. But because of his great love for us, God did not leave us banished. God did not leave us separate from him. He came and he sorted it out. I would ask if the band would like to come. I'd like to lead us in prayer, and it's a prayer of commitment. And it's my prayer. So I'm going to say it slowly so that you can hear what it says. And should you wish, add your amen to the end of it. Now I'm guessing that most of you will know, but an amen is a sign of agreement. It's an affirmation. It's a yes, let it be so. So if you add your amen to this prayer, that is great. But I am going to pray it slowly so that you can hear it and that you know what you're letting yourself in for. Let's pray together. Jesus, I declare with my mouth that you are Lord, and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Father God, I know I have resisted you, ignored you, and even deliberately turned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. Holy Spirit, I need you to be with me. Renew my mind. May my life constantly honor you. I ask because you made it possible. I ask because you said it was possible. I ask because you call me to follow. I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. Amen.